Good morning. The reading is Psalm 119. And the Church Bible, it's on page 617. Verses 1 to 16. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Amen.
Welcome, Uncle Abby, to come and preach the word.
This is not working? Okay, something is working. It's a joy for me to be here this morning. I think the last time I was here preaching would have been about 15 years ago. Anybody remembers me from that time?
2007.
Huh? 2007, did I preach here? My wonderful memory. So that's only about how many years? About 13 years, is it? Right. My name is Ebenezer. A little bit of background about myself, because I think most of you are not there when I preached last time. Why such a name as Ebenezer? Sounds like something from Charles Dickens, isn't it? Ebenezer Scrooge. Very brief history. My mother was a Hindu, met my father, who was a nominal Christian. They met and married in 1928. That's a long, long time ago. And life was absolutely brilliant. My father, from India, he went to Colombo, and he was an entrepreneur. He did very well in his business and opened up many branches to his firm, and life was one sweet song. Second year was almost equally good. Third year was not bad. Fourth year was okay. By fifth year, my dad started grumbling, I hear. All from the horse's mouth. My mother told me this. The problem was my mother couldn't give my father children. And they went to the best of doctors. Sri Lanka used to be known as Ceylon at that time. And they had all the money that they needed to go to the best of doctors, all to no avail. And my mother had this term ascribed to her in Tamil. You wouldn't know Tamil. Barren. She didn't like it. And my father gave her an ultimatum. If you don't give me children, I'm going to divorce you and get married to somebody else. The world fell apart for my mother because she loved my father dearly. And she was thinking of committing suicide and ending her life. This was 1934, 6 years. One day she hears a knock on the door, opens the door. Not Jehovah's Witnesses, praise the Lord. some ordinary Bible-believing Christians from the northern part of Sri Lanka, from where Premila comes. Where is Premila? Is she here somewhere? Yeah, I think she has gone for Sunday school. Anyway, she is there. Yeah. And I thank God for this men of God. They came and told my mother, we have come to tell you about Jesus. My mother was not interested. She couldn't be less interested in Jesus. She said, can you, Jesus, give me children? And fortunately, they were ordinary Bible-believing Christians, not very complicated in their theology. So they blurted out an unthinking reply. Of course, Jesus can. And I thank God that they were just ordinary, simple believers. She said, if your Jesus gives me children, I become a Christian. A good bargain. Well, that was 1934 January. On the 23rd of December 1934, my eldest brother was born. She named him Samuel, and she never looked back. She had waited for 6 long years, so God gave her Samuel, and then Jacob, and then John, and then another boy, and then another boy, and then another boy. All these have gone to be with the Lord. This boy is this boy, Ebenezer. And she said, Lord, I think you might as well kind of stop, you know. Thank you for all the blessings. When I was born, my mother thought there was no hope for me. She used to tell me, she used to take me up in her arms. I used to purge blood. And she used to say, Lord, why are you giving this child to take it away? Until I was 3-4 years old, I couldn't say mama or dad in Tamil, ama or appa. And they used to think that I was both deaf and dumb. My wife keeps telling me that I have made up very well over the years for the last 3 or 4 years. And I met my wife. It was not love at first sight. I'm so happy to see different nationalities here. My wife is not Tamil. She is from a place called Kerala. If there's anybody from Kerala, take heart. Oh, right. You can always trust a Malayali to be there. And you know the story about Neil Armstrong going to the moon, and there was a chai shop that a Malayali was running there. My wife received a call to full-time Christian ministry when she was 15 years of age. She's 69. And God has been with us for the last 54 years of her life and part of my life. Very happy to see different people from different nations of the world. My eldest one married a Lithuanian, the second one married an American, the third one married a Spanish, and the fourth one married, he felt a little loyal to this country, a lassie from Suffolk. She's the only English one. I married a Malayali. You know what song I'm reminded of? This looks like a somewhat a complicated guitar. I'm a simple person, and this looks very, what would he say, sophisticated. I'll try this. Redeemed to worship Him, redeemed to praise His name, out of every tribe and nation. Redeemed to worship Him, redeemed to praise His name, out of every kindred and tongue. Redeemed to worship Him out of every kindred and tongue. And I see an ethnic minority lady here. Are you from England? They are the ethnic minority here, isn't it? Sorry? Essex. Essex. The Lord must be rejoicing when He looks down at this congregation. People from various parts of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves. I almost qualify to be black, brother. Those brothers here. Red and yellow, black and white. I saw a Chinese young lady, I think, playing the flute. Sorry? Okay, right. Bless her. So, yeah, that's my story, and that's the reason for my name, Ebenezer. My mother had come to know about the Lord by then, and she knew her word, and she named me Ebenezer and said, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So I've been in Christian ministry, as I told a little while ago, for the last 48 years. It started in Sri Lanka for a few years, and then in India for about 6 years, and then here in this country for the last 82 to this day, about 38 years. God is good. A little more oomph in it would delight his heart. God is good all the time. And all the time. Hallelujah. We have such a wonderful gospel. It should cause us to rejoice every single day. Somebody coming, paying the debt that I couldn't pay, that he didn't owe. Jesus took all my sins away. Now, I'm not supposed to be talking all this. This is all in the way of introduction. And usually, my introductions take about 25 to 30 minutes. And I was told that I have only 25, 30 minutes to share the word. So I will try to condense everything. I was supposed to speak on your pastor, my beloved, in Tamil I would say Thangachi, my little younger sister, told me that I could have freedom. To preach whatever I wanted, because it was going to be, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amazing word. Just a couple of words about that, and I shall go on to what I want to speak to you on this morning. Blessed are they that mourn. You heard this saying, isn't it? Smile, and the whole world smiles with you. Weep, and you weep alone. And I think this morning's title would have been, mourners are comforted, or something to that effect. Yeah. I just want to tell you, my wife and I mourn a lot because of what's happened in our children's lives. I used to preach with great gusto and joy, and people in the congregation used to think, yes, Pastor Ebenezer or Uncle Abby can speak. He has it all easy. 4 children, 9 grandchildren, 4 sons to boot. And what worry does he have? Hardly a month passes without my wife and myself crying tears of sadness and regret. But we take comfort because we have a God who comforts us in our sorrow. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We have experienced that. He's the one who gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. For the oil of joy, I wouldn't mind mourning if I can experience his oil of joy for mourning. And a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I don't know if you're mourning today, like my wife and I do. But we receive the comfort of God day in and day out. And when I was studying the life of Mary Magdalene, something sprang from the word of God to me that has stayed with me ever since. That the first words that Jesus in his resurrection glory, in his majesty, the first word that Jesus utters, I would have expected him to go and show himself to Annas and Caiaphas and Pilate or Mary, his mother, or John, the beloved disciple, and say, don't worry, here I am. Yet he lingers in near the sepulchre, and speaks to a woman. And the first words that this wonderful Savior of mine, of yours, utters after his resurrection is, woman, why are you crying? It matters to Jesus if we cry. It might not matter to anybody else. Who takes women crying seriously anyway? Not their husbands. They say, oh, my wife, she cries for everything. When she goes for a wedding, she cries, weeps because the bride is so beautiful. She goes to a funeral service and cries not because of the person who's dead there. She remembers her dead mother. Husbands don't take it seriously when their wives cry. But Jesus takes it seriously. He says, woman, why are you crying? And he knows the reason for her tears, and he says, whom are you seeking? Who are you looking for? Whatever we are looking for, Jesus is here today concerned about our tears. The psalmist says in the 56th Psalm, Lord, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your account? In Tamil language, it is beautiful. Some of you, I'm sure, are from other parts of the world and you have your own language. Brother, sister, are you from Nigeria? Or the two of you there? No. You, the handsome, bald one. Yeah? Sorry? You only speak English. Okay. Some of you who come from other countries, I would urge you, if you can, to learn your own mother tongues and read the Bible in its original. It can be sometimes your heart language, as it were. It can be extremely moving. There aren't many Tamils, but just to whet your interest for the Tamils, I'll tell you this. 56. This psalm says, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your account? In Tamil it says beautifully. Andare ennude kannire ennude thuruthil vayum. Avai um kanakkil allavo irukkirathu. My mother shed many tears for us. And they are all in a bottle and they are in God's account. Blessed are they that mourn, even in anticipation. I used to make fun of my mother and ask her, why are you crying? You don't have girls to marry off, because in India and Sri Lanka it used to be very hard if instead of six boys you had six girls. And she used to say, I'm crying for you, I'm weeping for you, that you will stay steadfast in the ways of the Lord. I'm 73, and if I'm standing here, I would say her tears are in a bottle and they're in God's account. None of your tears will be wasted. We have a God who cares for every teardrop that we shed. If he cares for the very strands of our hair, somebody said, it doesn't say just God has counted the very hairs of your head. In King James Version it says, he has numbered the hairs on your head. Numbered and counted, slightly different, isn't it? Counted, he knows the total. For some of us, the Lord has an easy job, isn't it? Not many left here anyway. For some of you, you comb your hair and you look at the comb and your heart sings, more hair is falling. Don't worry! Every strand of your hair, not only counted, but numbered, the Lord knows. There goes strand number 2413. He cares for us so much. Will he not care for our tears? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So much for next week's sermon. I hope whoever is speaking has not stolen any of their points. Now to what is very dear to my heart. Your pastor, my niece, to see her here and to hear that she is your pastor, absolutely delights my heart. And to see her beloved husband leading the service makes me so happy. They were part of our church in Manor Park. I no longer am a pastor there. I'm retired. And I don't know whether you know her story that led her to a closer walk with God. And that's going to be the main thrust of my message this morning. It might have been in this couple's house. I don't know. A birthday or a housewarming. And they used to think of me as a kind of a spoiled sport. Whenever I was called, whether it was a birthday or a housewarming or whatever, not only would I pray, I would have a Bible quiz. Come on, that's being a spoiled sport, isn't it? 20 questions, about 15 people, I would give them the question and I would then read the answers out and I would ask people to put their hands up. Those who have got 15 and above, can you please put your hand up? One or two tentative hands would be raised. Those who have got 10 and above, some would be raised. And below 10, I wouldn't go because that would be public embarrassment for them, isn't it? At one such quiz, I believe Amuda was there. And I believe she didn't get many marks. Oh, she got one! Be encouraged. So it was not an absolutely hopeless case. This is from her testimony on our church stage in Manor Park that I'm recounting. She went home challenged and ashamed. Challenged because she had been a Christian, ashamed that she had got only one. And she decided that she would read the Word of God. And she said this two or three times in her testimony. Not with the right motive, with the wrong motive. That she might score better the next time there was a birthday party and I drew out my questions. She gritted her teeth and started reading the Bible. Come what may, I will read it and prove to Uncle Abby that there is some hope left in me. And she read, and again she said, with the wrong motive. But the Word of God is so powerful, you can't read it without being changed by it. The Word of God sharper than any two-edged sword. It had its effect on her. She came, she had a Damascus Road experience reading the Word of God. And she felt the nearness of God and she felt the glory of the gospel plan, salvation's plan. And she opened her heart and gave herself to the Lord. And she had a doctorate in ceramics. I don't know whether you know, along with her husband. He's also a doctor, not medical though. And you were working in Imperial College at that time, Ma. You were in research, am I right?
Yeah, I was doing research in material science.
So it was a prestigious occupation, employment. She resigned and said, if there is such a God as this that I read in the Bible about, it is worth following him. Resigned her job, went to Spurgeon's. And the Lord knew the congregation that you would face the time when there would be no minister and you would need a minister and brought her here at the right time. What caused this mighty transformation in her life? Reading the Word of God. And I'm going to speak to you about the absolute importance of reading the Word of God. I've been reading the Word of God for the last, I'm 73, say from the time I was about 9, 64 years. But the last 2 or 3 years have been times when I have read the Word as though my absolute life and future depended upon it. And let me assure you, yes, your life and future, it does depend on the Word of God. Very much so. Of course, our faith is in Jesus, who reveals himself through the Word from Genesis to Revelation. It was very interesting for me to hear Donny ask people, what does Jesus mean to you? And you all came up with various wonderful expressions. He's my friend, he's my savior, my redeemer. Every one of them is thrilling. About 6 months ago, I was listening to the radio and Premier Radio, and somebody said this that caught my attention. They referred to Jesus as serpent crusher. Absolutely. The promise given in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And then I thought, let me think of some other terms, two-word phrases that might explain what Jesus is and what he's done for us. So I came up with a few. And I challenge you, especially for whom English is their first language. English is not my first language, you know. English is my second language. And it's a beautiful language. Do you know how expressive it can be and how you have benefited people the world over through your language? We are blessed to know English. So I would like you to go one better and come up with something and give it to Donio Amuda and send it to me. I will include it in my list. Serpent crusher, he said. Then I wrote, Satan vanquisher, blood shedder, curtain shredder, death defeater, devil chaser, temple cleanser, disease healer, strength increaser, sadness changer, tears wiper, pain remover, great understander, health giver, burden bearer, prayer answerer, dream fulfiller, faith inspirer, light shiner, emptiness filler, purpose giver, life transformer, love creator, joy bestower, praise deserver, words provider. Praise deserver, and he provides us with the words to sing him, sing his praises adequately. Peace showerer, hunger satisfier, thirst quencher, mighty reformer, tradition challenger, grace bequeather, the church builder. We sang this morning, for I'm building a people of power, hell destroyer, heaven preparer, way pointer, truth revealer, life giver, Lord forever, Son of the Father, blessed Redeemer, my only Savior, ever the same, that most beautiful name, Jesus. Hallelujah. We have a great Savior, and the Bible is all full of him. So your pastor, my niece, reads it and has a confrontation or revelation of Jesus, and the direction of our life is changed forever. Amen. Over the last 2 years, I have started reading the Bible with greater sense of urgency and greater delight. I have been reading for 64 years, as I told you. But over the last 2 years, the magnificence of the Word of God has dawned upon my heart, and I read it with greater sense of urgency, greater delight. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. How many of us can put our hands on our hearts and say, reading of his word has been my delight? It is a duty that we fulfill with the greatest reluctance, isn't it? My 3 chapters for the day, and when we finish it, oh, we close the Bible with a great sense of relief. I have done God a favor. And some of us tell very proudly, Pastor, when I start reading the Bible, I feel so sleepy. It is better than sleeping tablets for some people. You start reading the Bible and you will feel sleepy. And you will feel sleepy because your adversary and my adversary will not want you to read the Word of God. Because the Word of God will keep you away from sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. If you have his words hidden in your heart, you wouldn't want to sin, and your adversary doesn't like it. So he causes you to feel sleepy. Some Indian, South Indian friends have a kind of a better strategy. You know what they do? If they can't read the Bible, they keep the Bible under their pillow to ward off evil spirits, to keep away bad dreams. The Lord wants the contents of the Bible in our hearts and not under our heads. Right. The dreaded moment has come. Uncle Ebbie's, Pastor Ebenezer's quiz time. How many? I used to study in a Muslim school in Sri Lanka. There were people who were given this title, Hafiz, H-A-F-E-E-Z. A Hafiz is a person who knew the contents of the entire Quran by heart from chapter 1 to the last chapter. And most of these Hafizes in Sri Lanka were people who were Tamils, who didn't know Arabic at all, who didn't know the meaning of what they read, yet they read and they committed it to memory. And they would recite it, not knowing what it meant. And how long is the Quran? The Quran is supposed to be about the length of the New Testament. About 260 chapters in New Testament. Exactly. And they knew it. I have read portions of the Quran. Nothing can compare with the majesty, the glory of this book. And yet we neglect it. To our detriment. I'm supposed to read it. Why should I read it? Because when I read the Word of God, something happens. A very uncomplicated, non-trick answer. What happens when I pray? What happens when I read the word? What happens when I pray? Yeah, somebody said the correct answer, yeah? I'm speaking to God. When I pray, I'm speaking to God. Oh, he loves to hear my voice. Speak to him. Wonderful. I mean, I love to hear my four sons speaking to me. And my grandchildren speak to me. And we have just had two grandchildren who are 10 minutes away. We are so happy whenever they come home. And we are happier when they go home. They speak all the time. When we pray, we are speaking to God. What happens when we read the word? Aha. God speaks to us. Both are important. I want my children to speak to me. But one is more important than the other, in my opinion. A famous evangelist called Oswald J. Smith was asked once by a young man who found it difficult to manage both reading of the Bible and praying. Sir, there are times when I can't read the Bible and pray and do justice to them both. What should I do? This wise old man of God replied, if you don't have time to do both occasionally, read the word. Because God speaks to you, to me, through his word. He is speaking. You know the reply that Samuel gave to God after a few times of mistaking that voice for Eli's voice. God calls him and Eli trains him and coaches him and he gives the right answer. What does he say? Lord, speak. For thy servant heareth. King James Version. Lord, speak, for your servant heareth. You know what we are busy doing? Lord, hear, for thy servant speaketh. Many words in our prayer. We can start from our grandchildren to the cat in our house and pray for everybody in turn. But when it comes to hearing the word of God, where, how does God speak to you? Primarily through his word. Jesus was tempted 3 times. The Son of God. God, man. Mystery. But yes, true. When Satan tempted him 3 times, what did he do? Did he draw something out of his own wisdom? He had immense wisdom. Did he say something deeply impressive to Satan? Of course it was deeply impressive. What did he say? He spoke 3 times. He said, he overcame the devil with his cunning strategy each time with one refrain. What was the refrain? Different verses, but one refrain. What was the refrain? It is written. If the Son of God needed the Word of God to overcome Satan's temptations, how much more you and I, mere mortal beings? I need the Word of God. Goalposts are being shifted every day in this country. When I came to this country, homosexuality was a word that was not even uttered. 82. Not so long ago, not even 40 years ago. It was a taboo word. And recently I go to East Ham Library, where we used to live for 30 odd years. There is a bookshelf saying, books on gay and lesbian interest. Your children, my children, our grandchildren are growing up in a world where goalposts are being shifted all the time, when right becomes wrong, when what is obnoxious a few decades ago, even in this country, is now not only allowed, but almost promoted. I need to speak with caution. I think I can be taken in for questioning. So where do we get our bearings from? The Word of God. It has stood the test of time for 2,000 years. A sure guide. My mother was almost an illiterate woman. She didn't know to read and write Tamil till she married my father. She had been brought up by her stepmother, who treated her like a servant. And my mother used to say, my mother was a trained teacher, but I was never sent to school. So she learned the Tamil alphabet when she was 30 and used to laboriously read the Tamil Bible. The equivalent of that would be in English, the Lord is my shepherd. One psalm, she would take several minutes. But you know what? The Bible was about the only book that she ever read in her life. And that was sufficient to bring us up. She was a fairly young widow when we were growing up. And she brought us up in the truths of the Bible. She didn't have any degree in psychology or psychiatry or sociology or child behavior. No, she knew the simple truths of the Bible. Simple truths. You might have heard about Karl Barth, the great theologian. He was asked at one time, great theologian, I'm sure you would have heard. And he had written many, many books, and somebody asked, sir, after all this research and studies, what is the truth that captures your heart about the Christian gospel? And he said this, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. He just said two sentences. This great theologian, after writing of many books, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We have a sure guide, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I was new in this country, my English colleague, Jonathan Eden from Camberley, you couldn't get more English than my colleague, Jonathan Eden. Bless him. And he was a saint of God. I had the privilege of working with him for 30 years. The first week, he said very seriously, he did have an impish sense of humor, but he could be serious most of the time. And he said to me, Brother Ibi, you need two books to do evangelism in this country. And I was wondering, I know about one book, what is the other? He said, seriously, one, first and foremost, is the Bible. The second, he said, is the A to Z. Nowadays, our present generation don't even know what A to Z means. It's Satna, isn't it? It's Waze, it's Google. Those days, it was good old A to Z. We used to have anybody remembers A to Z? I'm sure, sir, you remember. Yeah. And I used to turn the book upside down and sideways to know which way I should be going. How easy now? Absolutely, yeah. So we have people who had experience. But I'd like to tell you, there is a better A to Z, there is a better navigator than the latest one that you have got. As you go through the maze of life, to direct your every path, so that his word is like a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, giving you specific direction. The story. 2 years ago, I was to conduct a funeral service in Manor Park, and we live in Basingstoke. Basingstoke to Manor Park roughly takes about 2.25 hours. The funeral service was to be at 9 a.m., and I was wondering whether we were going to make it because we got late getting prepared. Look at the time. It is 7:30. 1.5 hours, no way. I can't make it. To Manor Park, 454 High Street North, E12, 6RH. What am I to do? For the first time in my life, this is about 2 years ago, I put on the Satnav Waze. And glory be, it says that I'll reach Manor Park from Basingstoke at 8:59. I look at my wife with renewed hope and say, we are going to make it. And you know how punctual undertakers are, isn't it? I don't know why they've got to be so punctual on the day when nobody is in a particular hurry, especially the person who they have come to bury. Right, I start, and I know the route. My usual route is M3, M25, M11, and I know the way to my church. But no, this was leading me through another way that I had never, ever tried in my 35, 37 years in London. It was almost like a tour of London, but I had to obey it. At one point, I was wondering whether I should just disregard it and go my way. My wife said no. And wife's words are last words, isn't it? But I was very thankful for one thing. This satnav that I had a female soothing voice. It wouldn't tell me off like my wife would. My wife would say, I told you, do you ever listen to me? I told you, you should have turned left. No. At the roundabout, take a U-turn. Very soothing. And I was wondering whether I am going to make it. Tour of London? Yes. Roads that I knew? No. I had a choice. Disregard it or listen to it. To disregard it, it was too late. I thought I'd listen to it. Through road that I had never been, somehow, when I saw Whitechapel, I breathed a sigh of relief. Okay, we are not too far. And E12, 6RH, 454 High Street North, I come and park the car. Look at the clock. 8:59. Hallelujah. And I was able to graciously smile at the undertakers and go inside and ask the congregation to stand for the coffin to be brought in. The satnav saved my day. But in life's journey, we have a satnav. I tell you, precious beyond compare. I have heard words from this specific word that would direct me in the right way that I should go. My wife had a calling to ministry when she was 15 in Sri Lanka. From Kerala, she was in Sri Lanka, and God speaks to her. And I tell her, how are you sure? She was about 17 when I asked her this. She said, God gave me a word. Okay, what is the word? She quoted Isaiah and chapter and verse. I remember the chapter and verse, 46. And the verse, I thought it had no meaning at all. About 2 months ago, I was reading the same word. And I thought it was absolutely spot on. What God had told her. This is 2008, and I'm talking about when she was 15. That would have been 1965. The word of God is absolutely spot on. If I can leave just one thought with you. Well, I told you that I was going to have a quiz. Are you going to get off easily, or am I to? How many chapters in the Bible? Hafizas know the entire contents of the Quran. How many chapters in the Bible? Don't get me wrong, St. Peter is not going to wait at the pearly gates and say, unless you tell us how many chapters are there, you're not going to go in. Thank God we are purchased by the blood of the Lamb and we are set free, we are redeemed, we go into the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness of Christ attributed to us. How many chapters? Because I hope more work will start in many people's heart like what started in my niece's heart many years ago. We have something precious and we hardly know anything about it. How many of us would know the 66 books of the Bible from the beginning, Genesis to Revelation, by heart? How many of us know from which book Jesus quoted, which book or books Jesus quoted to Satan when he was tempted? Any guesses? The less the guesses, the more I hope would be the zeal created in you to go home, brush up scriptures, and then resign your jobs and start a ministry somewhere. Like what he did in Amuda's life. Any guess? How many chapters? You don't know. How many verses? Well, that is very, very deep waters, isn't it? Surely. I have one more song. I think I'll finish with it. 31,100 and odd verses, more than 31,100. My wife and I, we have gone through severe testing in our life. This was 1978. 7 years into our marriage, things were very, very hard. Thankfully, we didn't ask God, why did you choose this path for us? It was hard going. We were in Bangalore. And one day I got up, absolutely heavy at heart, not knowing how we were going to make ends meet that month. Very, very small income. You can't even imagine. And usually when I'm down, my wife is up. When my wife is up, I'm down. That day I was down and she was down. And both of us had sagging shoulders. And I go to work in a Christian organization called FIBA Radio. Some of you might have heard. And my work is to encourage radio listeners who are discouraged. What a wonderful combination, isn't it? Lunchtime came. I was still spirit sagging. I would finish my lunch in 10 minutes, and 50 minutes I would start reading the Bible as though it really, really mattered. And as I was reading that day, my sagging shoulders notwithstanding, suddenly I came across a verse that really perked my spirit up. I said, "Hallelujah, you are on the throne. I'm not going to be with sagging shoulders anymore." The joy of the Lord filled my heart. And I went with a spring in my step home, and I was going to encourage my discouraged wife. To my disappointment, she was already encouraged, she seemed. And I said, "I thought you were rather low this morning." She said, "I thought you were rather low this morning." Well, I said, "God has spoken to me through His word, you know." And she said, "Well, God has spoken to me through His word too." Cut a long story short. Tried to find out what she had been reading. She was trying to find out what I was reading. And out of the 31,100 verses, when you were down and out, God spoke to both of us through the same word. Psalm 23? No. That would have been your guess. 91? No. Psalm 32, I think it was verse 6 or 7. And in 1978, that's a good 42 years ago, my wife said, "God has given me a song based on those words, as it is in the King James Version." When I needed the Spirit of God to boost my spirit up, He spoke through a word. You might be going through difficult times in your marital life, in your life with your children, grandchildren, with your colleagues. There's a way out. God's word can speak to you. Words of direct advice and comfort. And this is what my wife sang from Psalm 32, 6 or 7. If you like, you can follow that in King James Version, though. "Thou art my hiding place. Thou art my hiding place. Thou wilt preserve me from trouble. Thou art my hiding place, and Thou wilt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Thou art my hiding place. Thou art my hiding place." We found that He could compass us about with songs of deliverance. We sang a few songs based on the word of God, and we were strengthened. Read the word of God as though your life depends upon it. Delight in the word of God, and there are treasures just to be unearthed there, day in and day out. There's direction for you there, for your day-to-day activities, your perplexities, your problems, as I said, be it domestic, at work, anything whatsoever. Because somebody said, this is the love letter that God wrote to humankind. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, what I read is, God loves you. God loves me. She found that out. Life was never the same for her or for her family after that. He wants to change our lives. With one little verse from Isaiah, I finish. There is a verse from Isaiah 30 which says, I think verse 21, when you lean to the left or to the right, you'll hear a voice from behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. Hallelujah. A divine satnav. When I go to the left or to the right, and if I'm not on the straight and narrow, he will say, this is the way, walk you in it. A built-in satnav, a portable satnav. Lord, help us to know the wonder of your word, to delight in it, to read it, to meditate upon it day and night, and to benefit by it, Lord. Your word is sweeter than honey. Your word makes wise the simple like my mother. Your word has an answer for everything in this earth. Thank you, Lord, that when goalposts are shifting around us, we can look to your word and be led, guided, blessed, and directed. Glory be to your name. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.